devil's advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the happy hour. It's going to get happier up in here. We've got former U.S. Attorney James Santel joining at the 5 o'clock. And I am heading to the big, what do they call it, Friday Night Live right here in Waukesha, Wisconsin. We're going to broadcast it out tonight, the inaugural broadcast. Never tried this before. We're going to try it tonight. We're going to do it live. So I'm going to sneak away late in the show, and Jim's going to take over for me. And have no fear, James Santel, a trained professional. And Jim is going to launch his own fine show right here on the Devil Radio Shaw Network.
On WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, the Shaw.
Well, and we're also going to play it out in Madison.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure-sies. So Jim Santel is going to Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel.
Yeah.
He picked it himself, you know. Take the cannolis, leave the gun. So you see where his inspiration came from. Jim will be along soon. Your calls could be next, 844-967-2789. But poor stoner Jess out there driving the streets of Milwaukee, if you're sick of hearing about Donald Trump now, wait till next week. Now, the January 6th committee hearing, as I pointed out, I'm gleefully looking forward to this primetime extravaganza, hopefully made for radio event, be made for our fine stations. We're going to play it out. But you don't think that Trump's going to sit idly by and allow this to happen without doing some, let's just call it counter-programming. You know, he is the ratings machine. So apparently, he's going to get together with a number of his loose associates. Now,
loose associates. That sounds great.
Yes, that's how they were described, the loose associates. Our friend Jeff messaged us. Did you say Trump's loose network or Trump's noose network? Yeah, a little punny. I get it. But anyways, let me read a little bit from Greg Sargent at the Washington Post. I might throw some commentary in as well for good measure. Now that the House committee examining the January 6th insurrection has announced the first of six hearings set to begin next week, former President Donald Trump and his allies, you know, his buddies, his bros, are gearing up for a major media push and response. Axios describes this as counter-programming of the committee's presentation. That's a polite way to say that Trump's propagandist will flood the media zone with rancid gush of disinformation and lies designed to dupe GOP voters into seeing themselves as the hearing victims and to pollute the information environment. So the media activist, its worst both sides instincts. The stench of the grift is strong here. Per Axios, GOP leaders and conservative groups will coordinate their mighty messaging across many right-wing media platforms to delegitimize the hearings. That sounds formidable, but the ruse is to project swagger at a time when the Democrats will command the national spotlight with a powerful tale of Trumpian violence and treachery. Yet the effort does point to a big challenge Democrats face with these hearings. It shows that large swaths of the GOP and conservative establishment have fundamentally invested in a full-blown denial that Trump's effort, you know, the effort to destroy our constitutional order, requires any serious national reckoning. Why respond? You know, it's just some tourists and such. Good people. They're patriots.
On many sides.
On many sides. That, in turn, could make a meaningful breakthrough harder for these hearings to achieve. I'm looking for a big old breakthrough, a Top Gun Maverick summer blockbuster kind of breakthrough. Think back over the storied congressional hearings in modern times, and you'll generally recall some kind of big moment that grabbed attention across the country, demanding heightened recognition and introspection. There's the have you no sense of decency moment during the 1954, that was a long time ago, during the 1954 hearing that led to Senator Joe McCarthy's demise. Wisconsin's own, or White House official Alexander Butterfield's revelations about Nixon's secret taping system during the 73 Watergate hearings, or Rep. Henry Waxman extraordinarily grilling the nation's leading tobacco executives in 1994. The January 6 hearings may struggle to achieve a moment quite like those. First, many of the highest profile players in the insurrection effort will probably refuse to testify. You know, see our buddy Peter Navarro. This includes Trump, his vice president, Mike Pence, who was pressured to execute Trump's scheme, and other top co-conspirators such as Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and former advisor Stephen K. Bannon. Here's a quote. Every hearing that had enormous impact hinged on the witnesses, congressional scholar Norman Ornstein tells the author of this piece, Greg Sargent. The question is whether the January 6th hearing produced a big moment without the biggest players under the spotlight. And what's more, as Bloomberg's Jonathan Bernstein explains, it took hearings like those on Watergate months to break through. The January 6th committee is planning 6 hearings. Even if that's understandable, given our political calendar, it also seems to reflect a recognition. The public is a very different place than it was during the Watergate era. That doesn't mean the January 6th hearings will fail to capture attention. Rather, it means committee members will need to conduct them in a manner that fundamentally is different than those previous hearings. In some ways, this is doable. The January 6th hearings are about an unprecedented effort to subvert the peaceful transfer of power with appalling levels of corruption and mob violence. Did you catch all that? It's kind of a compelling lead, don't you think? That might capture the country's attention. Maybe. It involves numerous deaths and scenes of extraordinary violence and brutality perpetrated by white supremacists, white nationalists, and other assorted ugly characters. And I'm sure many good people. In a sense, the hearings will produce some searing primetime drama. We may see new footage of horrors of violence, emotional testimony from wounded Capitol Police, powerful expert discussion of the outside threat posed by violent domestic extremists, you know, and so forth. We also may see new information. In a useful primer on the hearings, Just Security and Protect Democracy lay out revelations to watch for. So what should we watch for? New evidence that Trump was involved in the scheme to manufacture fraudulent electors. Now I'm going to stop right there for a minute. We've talked about the 10 fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin. That scheme, the John Eastman scheme hatched up. Well, Trump condoned the scheme, probably, and I think there will be testimony presented next Thursday night, right here on the radio in prime time, of just that. And also, Trump World knew the fraud pretext for subverting the election was freaking bogus. They knew the big lie was a big lie when they were telling it, and that Trump weaponized the mob in real time to complete the procedural coup. You know, the two prongs, the procedural coup and the insurrectionist, bastardist coup. But is there a way to produce something like a serious bipartisan recognition that an extraordinary crime was committed against the country? One that requires meaningful reconciliation and reform? Question mark? It seems unlikely. The Bulwark's William Crystal and New York Magazine's Jonathan Chait both posit that a fundamental shift is taking place within the Republican Party and conservative establishments. This shift means that new reigning orthodoxies are taking hold at the highest levels and dictating that the insurrection attempt simply did not amount to a serious offense against the country. That's the propagandist anti-narrative, right? That's what we're going to hear next week, over and over and over again. If you turn on Fox News, if you turn on right-wing talk radio, oh, this is all a partisan effort. This is just the Dems looking for stuff to relitigate. You know, never mind the fact that their Cheeto Messiah wants to keep relitigating every election, especially the one he lost. But back to Greg Sargent here. Try to bring this to conclusion. Yeah, I digress. No guy who talks in tangents occasionally.
I do it on purpose.
I do it, you know, just because. The shift also means new institutions are developing in the GOP. I think I mentioned that. No, I didn't. Didn't know if I was being redundant. You know, sometimes I've read ahead and sometimes I haven't. The shift also means new institutions are developing in the GOP and on the right that are expressly organized to promote a more militant refusal to accept election losses in the future. As Chait notes, we're witnessing the institutionalization of an insurrectionary movement. Didn't know I'd have to learn that word. Insurrectionary movement.
V is very insurrectionary.
Something like that. Now, Fancy Brian, all this may sound very dramatic, but it cannot be dismissed, given that a large swath of the party will respond to the J6 hearings with full-fledged propaganda effort to bury a serious political crime against the country and to substitute a new story in which the true victims related to January 6th are Donald Trump and his supporters. That'll be the counter-narrative. You wait for it. It's coming. Start Monday. And that makes a serious bipartisan breakthrough moment seem a whole lot less likely. According to Greg Sargent at the Washington Post. 844-967-2789. What do you say, Dick, from Madison?
Well, I say let Navarro keep talking. I got to see a little bit of his posts coming out from the court, you know. That was pretty interesting. He says that because Nancy Pelosi said that this was unprecedented, this committee, that basically she was down with not doing it. Where did that come from? She never said that. You know, and at a point where he was just blubbering on about buying his book on Amazon and this and that and the other thing, the best part of the whole interview his little, you know, media thing after he came out of the courthouse, was John Heilman was filling in this afternoon on Dateline White House, and he goes,
I love him from the circus.
Normally we don't break in on breaking news, but he let him go and blah, blah, blah for a while, and then he goes, but when it becomes just nothing more than this kind of right-wing gibberish, we're going to move on.
I met John Heilman.
Hooray for John.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
And he's a Wisconsin cat. He's from Wisconsin originally.
Yep. So is a guy from Axio.
Dick, you got any other thoughts, brother?
No.
Fine. Badger to another.
It just took way too long to get to this point. And you know what's going to happen next week. They're just going to get down in the trenches and go, no, none of this happened. And it didn't happen that way. And, you know, Navarro looked like a complete fool outside that courthouse. It was total gibberish.
Well, Navarro, as they say, Dick, and I appreciate you listening, my friend. A lawyer that represents himself has a fool for a client. What about an economist that plays lawyer and represents himself? What's he have for a client?
Someone who can put together a bill really well.
A Green Bay sweep. You know, we've got some January 6th updates on Rudy Giuliani as well. You know, Rudy's been out of the headlines for a couple weeks.
I was worried about him.
You shouldn't be. You know, he's still dyeing his hair, still bleeding hair dye. Still saying outrageous things, I suspect. But, you know, we'll report more of them to you. And we'll give you every opportunity to air the grievances. I got a fine co-devil coming along for the happy hour. He's James Santel. But you could be the co-devil next. Dial us up, 844-967-2789. And a little bit later, Crudy's going to Friday Night Live in the Shaw. If you are in the greater Waukesha area, come down for the live music, the party, the broadcast. And I'm giving away radios, man. We're in the radio business. You want a free radio? Come see me. I just got to know how to award your radio to you, you know, when you win. So come on back. More devils. Phones are next.
They call me the ratings machine.
You're all gonna die!
I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea.